Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
President Trump is in Israel again today. In his first trip abroad as president, Trump has focused on a couple big themes: strengthening ties between allies, creating stability, confronting extremism, and isolating Iran.
Most importantly, the United States and Israel can declare with one voice that Iran must never be allowed to possess a nuclear weapon, never, ever, and must cease its deadly funding, training, and equipping of terrorists and militias. And it must cease immediately. There is a growing realization among your Arab neighbors that they have common cause with you and the threat posed by Iran, and it is indeed a threat. There's no question about that.
That was the president on Monday speaking at a joint press conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And here's the president on Sunday in Saudi Arabia.
No discussion of stamping out this threat would be complete without mentioning the government that gives terrorists all three: safe harbor, financial backing, and the social standing needed for recruitment. It is a regime that is responsible for so much instability in that region. I am speaking, of course, of Iran.
All right. So how does Iran see all of this? Joining us now is Naheed Siam Dost. She's a lecturer at Yale's Macmillan Center. She's also author of Soundtrack of the Revolution: The Politics of Music in Iran. Naheed, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. So what do you think about all of this anti-Iran rhetoric? Is this just kind of what we'd expect, given that President Trump is in Saudi Arabia and now Israel, no great friends of Iran?
No, this is a real shift away from Obama's Middle East policy. So President Obama, during his term, he, as we know, achieved the Iran nuclear deal with Iran and really tried to bring Iran into the fold to rebalance the security situation in the Middle East by giving Iran a greater role. In his interview, one of his last interviews with The Atlantic, for example, he talked about Saudi Arabia and other countries in the region needing to share the neighborhood and have a sort of cold peace and really come to terms with one another. President Trump, however, he really campaigned on a very anti-Iran rhetoric before the elections, and since taking office, although he's extended the nuclear deal with Iran, saying that they have abided by the terms of the agreement, in Saudi Arabia and Israel has been vociferously against Iran. And that's not surprising. For all of those parties, for Iran, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, Iran is a very convenient enemy. Of course, Iran does play its own power politics in the region, and Iran and Saudi Arabia have not been friends since Iran's revolution in 1979, because Khomeini was a revolutionary and anti-colonial revolutionary who was against the kind of deep relationship, deep monetary relationship that Saudi Arabia had with the United States. And of course, it was opposed to Israel for taking over Palestinian lands and so on. But currently now, with President Trump in office, of course, for Saudi Arabia, this means that it can ignore the kinds of problems that it has at home, its own repression of its citizens, the lack of democracy there. For Israel, of course, focus on Iran is a convenient way of ignoring the 70-year problem of not having any kind of agreement with the Palestinians. And for President Trump, currently, one could argue that it is also a great distraction away from his own problems at home.
You know, Iran's newly reelected president had an interesting take on all of this. He was talking about Saudi citizens yesterday, and President Rouhani said, and I'm paraphrasing a little, "Those poor people have never seen a ballot box." Now, that's obviously a nod to recent elections in Iran, which ushered in a host of reformist and moderate candidates. What do you think about that? I mean, is he digging back a little at Saudi Arabia and the U.S.?
I mean, sure he is. And it's not a very surprising position for him to take. Iran has been a fairly cohesive national unit for 3,000 years. And they called for a constitution, for example, in 1906, before many Europeans did. So there has been a lot of political activity and participation with political life within Iran for at least a century, whereas Saudi Arabia, of course, does not even have a constitution. Its constitution is the Quran and the the hadith of the traditions of the prophet, and it has never had any elections. It is an absolute monarchy. So for Trump to be speaking of repression, as Iran's foreign minister Javad Zarif tweeted soon after Trump's speech, he said, I forget verbatim, but he said something like, well, this is ironic coming from the president being in the bastion of moderation and democracy, something like that, speaking from Saudi Arabia. So for the Iranians, this is, of course, really disappointing, because they did just partake in great numbers in an election to bring in a moderate. Granted, the elections are not super free and fair. The candidates have been vetted by the Guardian Council, but still, Iranians went out en masse and 57% voted to bring back the reformist Rouhani, who has promised an opening to the world, relations with the world, moderation, peace, all these things that President Trump says the U.S. and his allies, or the U.S. allies in the Middle East, should be looking to. Well, that's what the Iranians have called for. So to completely ignore the wish of the Iranian people in bringing back Rouhani and speak of Iran as if it was this place that was vastly worse in terms of democracy and freedom of speech and all of that than a place like Saudi Arabia, where there's no constitution, is, of course, kind of ridiculous.
What do ordinary Iranians think of President Trump?
Well, I think they think along similar lines as Americans for the most part. He doesn't have many friends, or any friends, I would think, in Iran. The majority of Iranians want to have better relations with the world. It's a vastly young country. It's the Middle East's second largest population. They're very well educated. Women are the majority of students in universities. In fact, it's a very equal society in terms of education and opportunities and so on. Not so much in terms of political and job opportunities. There, women are still lagging behind. But it's a very open society with a lot of access to the internet, satellite television. They're really well-versed in what's happening in the world and really well engaged. So they were not happy that Trump was elected, because they could see that that would bring an end to the kind of opening that President Obama created for Iran.
Do you think all of this anti-Iran rhetoric remains rhetoric? I mean, politicians, world leaders talk all of the time. They slam each other all of the time. Is that where it's going to stay?
For the most part, we all hope this is just rhetoric and this is just Trump going around. And, you know, he's not a man of principle. He's said things before that are 180 degrees different from what he says now about Saudi Arabia and other places in the Middle East. So one would hope that this won't devolve into disaster in the Middle East.
Nahid Siamdoust is a lecturer at Yale's Macmillan Center. She's also author of Soundtrack of the Revolution, The Politics of Music in Iran. Thank you for coming in, Nahid.
Thank you.